You're listening to the Husker Cuzcast Sports Show. Now, here's Justin Fielder, Derek Stafford, and Tyler Schaefer.
Hello and welcome to the Husker Cuzcast Sports Show. Justin here along with cousins Derek and Tyler. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at Husker Cuzcast for all podcast updates and more. Guys, we're back. It's been a month. Last time we were talking about the most intriguing and least intriguing games on the Nebraska schedule. Since then, quite recently, this past week, I guess, the Big Ten released the 2024 and 2025 schedule. So we'll talk about that, and then we'll talk a little bit more about some 2023 schedules, about some matchups, interesting matchups there. But let's go ahead and let's get started with Nebraska's schedule, the 2024 schedule. The away games have been identified as Iowa, Northwestern, Penn State, Purdue, and UCLA. That's five away games. And the home slate is Indiana, Michigan State, Minnesota, Wisconsin. Those are the four home games. Derek, do you have any thoughts on this schedule here?
Well, you know, it's a nice schedule. I don't want to call it an easy schedule because I don't think anything with the Big Ten's ever easy. And we've proven that for the last 10 years or so. I mean, you know, there was a point where we all would have sat here and said, oh, man, we got Illinois and Indiana and Michigan State, or Indiana, Michigan State, Minnesota. Those are all easy games. And, you know, Purdue, Northwestern. Those haven't been easy games for us, but I mean, we kind of skated away from having to play Michigan, Ohio State, USC. We still got Penn State, but overall, it's a fairly pleasing schedule for Nebraska, I guess.
Yeah. Tyler, your thoughts?
Well, I mean, I tend to agree. I mean, I think that the thing that stands out is obviously we're even too early to really for me to give a great prediction on our 2023 outcome. But when I look at what I see in 2023, I think, you know, we are playing what I perceive as three of the four worst teams going into 2023 with Northwestern, Indiana, and Purdue. I think those are teams that
you
are
mean 2024, correct?
Well, I think of 2023, I have no idea what 2024 is going to bring. So, I mean, again, where I'm going, in 2024, we're playing three of the four worst teams that I think that are going to be in 2023. I don't know if that makes sense. But,
okay.
So my point is that I think we're getting a lot of the easier teams. Again, obviously, Northwestern could come back to reality and maybe they'll be great again. But for now, I would say that we're getting some easy matchups and we avoid what would be the three, the two toughest in Michigan and Ohio State, you know, in 2024. So it is nice in that regard. And I'm going to try to keep this straight, but we also missed USC in 2024, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
In 2025, we get them. I kind of try to remember and keep these straight. So, yeah, I think we get three of the four easiest teams and we avoid three of the four toughest teams. So I think it's a great schedule for us. And Derek's right. There's no easy games. We can't count wins and nothing like that is given. But I think when you look at what it could have been, it definitely is a really favorable. And there's some fun games in that year. I'm excited to go to UCLA. I think that'll be a fun trip for us to go and welcome the Big 12. I look forward to a red out there. So it's some fun games in there.
Yeah, and it's a great schedule for Matt Rhule's second year as head coach. It's great. It's really going to benefit the home slate, the games. I mean, Tyler, you go to a lot more home games than me or Derek. But, you know, out of those four games, Wisconsin, Minnesota, Michigan State, those aren't bad games. Indiana, you know, you probably give your tickets away for that one, but I don't know. Who knows what they'll look like? I don't expect it much out of them, but it's a decent home slate there. Now, it does get tricky in 2025. 2025, the away games for Nebraska, Maryland, Minnesota, Ohio State, USC. Then the five home games are Illinois, Iowa, Michigan, Rutgers, and UCLA. Derek, it's a little bit different in 2025, isn't it? What do you think?
Yeah, sure. It's definitely tougher. I mean, anytime you see Ohio State and Michigan and USC on your schedule, the perception is going to be, oh, you got a really tough schedule. But we do get Illinois, who I'm not crapping on Illinois because they're a good team. But they're not the powers of Michigan or Ohio State or USC. We get Rutgers, Maryland, Minnesota. I mean, Iowa we're still going to have every year, and we'll get to that here in a little bit. But UCLA, they're a little unknown to me. I don't know what they're going to be. I know they were a lot better last year than they had been for a while, but can Chip Kelly keep that up out there? And we'll see.
Remember, I don't respect UCLA as a program.
I know. The one thing I'll say about the scheduling so far with the Big Ten, this new flex, whatever they're calling it, it's off to me. It doesn't make a ton of sense. Like, we got into these protected rivalries, and again, I know we'll get into that here in a little bit, but I mean, like, some teams have two, some teams have one, some teams have three, one team has none. And it's like, I don't understand the protected rivalries. I don't understand why we're doing the whole 2 years on, 2 years off with certain teams.
Well, let's hold off on that. Let's get to that once we finish the 2025 discussion.
I'm just saying, I just don't understand the scheduling, period. Like, it's great that we're playing all these different teams, though. I'm excited to play USC. I'm hoping by 2025 we're a pretty respectable team. Year three under Matt Rhule. Like, Justin used to say this all the time. If a coach is going to get it done, he better have it done by year three.
Yeah.
So if we're as good as what we should be by year three, these could be some really good matchups.
Tyler, your thoughts on 2025?
It's tough, you know, kind of for the same points I brought up earlier. I mean, we get three of the four toughest teams in the Big Ten on paper heading into that year with USC, Ohio State, and Michigan. You know, fortunately, I mean, we get Michigan at home, which will be nice. It is insanely intriguing to think about this because, you know, what everyone is kind of putting on paper is, yeah, Matt Rhule, year three is the year whatever's going to happen is going to happen. And again, if you had asked me a month ago, you know, I would have said, yeah, 2025, I mean, that can be a 10-win season for Nebraska. And then you see the schedule and it's like, you're going to need to show something in years one and two for me to be there. Again, when you're projecting this far out, there's a million things that could happen. I mean, by then, Ohio State could be trash for some reason. Doubtful, but I mean, like, there's just a million things that could go different. Yeah. So getting too far ahead in projecting, but like, I mean, you sit there and say, okay, well, if Nebraska is going to be a 10 win, then you either got to win two of those three tough games or you got to go undefeated the rest of the way. And that's so, neither of those scenarios are like, oh, that's an easy one, especially with the product we've seen. So, yeah, I mean, I think you look at 2023 is an easy schedule. 2024 just released, easy schedule. The only relief in 2025 is not Big Ten related, is that we don't have a non-conference game that's scary at all. And Justin, I know you love the little guy in Cincinnati, but without Fickell there anymore, like, I don't think we're going to see necessarily the same Cincinnati. I know they're going to the Big 12, but I don't know if Cincinnati is going to keep up what they've been. So, yeah, I think it's a pretty easy schedule.
You also don't have Wisconsin in 2025, which gives you a little bit of a break, as bad as they've owned us.
But what do you think Wisconsin is? Like, I thought about that when I was looking at this schedule. So, like, next year, we get two more years of Wisconsin, right? So we get two more years.
And I can't figure it out either, Tyler, because I'm wondering, with everything being changed, if they're going to struggle. But the national perception is they're just going to continue on winning.
Like, that's a game I kind of wish we had kept.
Jesus, Tyler, you shit on Wisconsin because they lose Luke Fickell. Now you're shitting on Wisconsin because they have Luke Fickell. What the hell?
I just think the problem with Wisconsin, it's a culture change, right? And that's the challenge, is how is that going to play out? No, I mean, I think it's definitely it is really fun to see it. It's a lot fun to get the clarity and start to look ahead on these next couple years because there was so much unknown for the last month. So it's nice to see a little bit of clarity kind of pop up.
Well, it's really interesting about the 2025 schedules with those the marquee games there with Ohio State, USC, Michigan. If Matt Rhule does get us to a competitive level, He's going to have to get there, but those are going to be some really fun matchups. That is a lot of good games. And throw UCLA in there if Chip Kelly can have them going around. I mean, and Iowa. I mean, that's five good marquee games there in the Big Ten. And you throw Minnesota in there, too. But some great games if we're competitive.
Yeah, certainly. It
could be really fun or it could be really shitty.
Well, I mean, if you're sitting there on paper saying you're kind of putting the haves and have-nots in the Big Ten, like, you know, Minnesota, Iowa, UCLA kind of all probably get on that haves line. And again, there is no – that's why I say, like, for us to get the 10 wins that year, if that's the year we're going to do it, I mean, again, who knows what Illinois is. But, I mean, I would probably say we only have – Illinois is a good team. We only got Rutgers. Rutgers is the only team on paper that's a layup.
Let's say this for a second. So, Justin, I got a question for you. When does the 12-team playoff start? Is it 2025? Is that the first year of it?
God, I thought it was 2024.
Is it 2024? Okay. You're right, because this is the last year we'll have four teams. You're right. So, a 10-win season with that schedule, you're talking about Nebraska being a possible playoff contender at that point.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, possibly.
With 12 teams and big wins like that, I mean, because you're going to see some two-loss teams in that playoff. There's no doubt about it.
That's fair, Derek. I mean, that's fair. I mean, I think, yeah. I mean, a 10-win team, we're definitely in the conversation, right? I mean, I think there would be no doubt about it. I mean, so, yeah, I think that's interesting. I know, Derek, you were bringing this up before, but, like, you know, obviously, I think Nebraska has a little bit of a complex where we think the Big Ten is always out to get us. I mean, what is your take? Because the more I think about that schedule, it's 24-24 is a great schedule for us. I don't want to say easy, but it's a great schedule. 2025 is a borderline brutal schedule. Like, I mean, what's your takeaway from that?
All right, well, should we just move on to what we think of the rest of the schedules then? Because I'm going to go over some of these other schedules of people who got some brutal teams.
Yes.
In 2024, Illinois has to face Ohio State, Michigan State, USC, and Michigan. I mean, they have just as brutal of a schedule in 24 as we have in 25.
Yeah.
So does Big Ten hate Illinois? No.
Well, I think let's be cautious about putting Michigan State in the tough game category.
All right, they've been a perceived top team. I mean, they've made the playoff. Nobody, I mean, they're the only other Big Ten team that could say they've made the playoff. Northwestern, that same year, has to play Ohio State, Penn State, and USC. Wisconsin that year has to play Michigan, USC, and Penn State. Like, teams are going to play some tough schedules. It's just going to happen. There's too many tough teams in the Big Ten now.
Yeah. And
so as far as people going out and saying, the Big Ten's out to get Nebraska, it's a bunch of crap. I mean, even Iowa in 2025 has to play Michigan, Michigan State, and Penn State. Like, those are tough games for them.
Yeah, when the Big Ten went out and got USC and UCLA, one thing that they did not do is water down the competition.
No.
They definitely did not water it down. It's going to make for some extremely fun matchups down the road.
One more team that got a really tough schedule in that 25 schedule was USC. They're going to have to face Ohio State, Wisconsin, and Penn State. That's a tough schedule, too. If Wisconsin's actually what everybody's thinking they're going to be with Fickell.
And you talked about UCLA in 2024, right?
I didn't look too. I guess I must have missed their schedule.
Yeah, because in 2024, they have USC, Ohio State, Michigan.
I kind of overlooked USC for them because that was their protected rival.
Yeah.
And so I kind of overlooked that. Okay. So, I mean, that's fair, though.
That's tough. I mean, that's what we're having 2025.
Yep.
So as far as people thinking that the Big Ten's out to get Nebraska, I'm just not buying that at this point. Like, so we got a tough schedule. Look, here's the thing. We can either start playing these tough teams and playing them well, or we can stay where we're at and just hope for easy schedules. And I don't want to be that guy. I don't want to be a guy that sits here and goes, well, I just hope we play all the easy teams and we can get to 10 wins.
I wanted an easy schedule with Scott Frost because he couldn't win any games. That's what I wanted. I wanted a really easy schedule there. So in 2024, the Big Ten is eliminating divisions. How do you guys feel about that? So there's like a little bit of speculation there that, you know, that we could go to like a pod system or... what was it, a 3-6-6 type of scheduling, and we settled on the protected rivalries, I guess, which aren't consistent. But how do you feel about eliminating divisions and doing what they are? We'll talk about the specifics of the protected rivalries, but what are your thoughts on that, Tyler?
I mean, I have been in favor of the divisions. I think divisions make sense. I am all for redoing the East-West. I don't think it necessarily needs to be geographic. I just think it helps with rivalries. It helps with consistency. It helps with formatting to have a division. I think it gets really weird where it's just going to be like, at the end of the year, is it the two best record teams? And maybe it's an automatic rematch. Like, it just... I like the divisions, and that's just where my head is. You could probably bring up a lot of points why the division system is broken, even with a realignment. But no, I mean, I would say I am disappointed that the division is broken. It's just there's something about week eight. You can start previewing the Big Ten championship. You can start saying like, well, this is number one in the East. This is number one in the West. This is how it's going. This is a big game. The winner of this game gets a championship, go to the Big Ten championship.
But it works that way with the top two, right? Because you have that many more contenders.
But by definition, if you have more contenders, it is less definitive. And like if you increase the number of teams that could be in the competition at the end, by nature, you're ruining the exclusive, like how many teams, like, there's only two or three that are actually going to have a shot at it. And again, so I don't know. It is just it's a different format. So I would have been in favor of establishing divisions.
Derek, your thoughts on it?
Honestly, I was perfectly fine with getting rid of divisions. I don't know how you break them up unless you start doing like they did with the Legends and Leaders where you try so hard to split it up evenly. But it just didn't make sense. And then the East versus West just was so perceived East was so much stronger. So I don't know how else you do divisions that was going to be any better. I was really in favor of the 3-6-6. Everybody had the three protected rivalries and you play the other 12 teams 2 years on and 2 years off. I loved that. I thought that was going to be great. Instead, the Big Ten went an odd way, and I told you guys, I kind of showed my hand on this, but I'm a little confused on what the scheduling's going to even look like. I mean, we know what it looks like for 24 and 25, but what about the future? Like, I don't know if they're just leaving it open because they're expecting to add more teams by the time, you know, I mean, we're starting to hear about the Pac-12 falling apart, where ACC looked like it was falling apart there for a bit, so I don't know if they're just trying so hard to leave a door open for other teams, or I'm not sure what it was that they decided to go this route, but it was confusing, and I don't quite understand it. But the 3-6-6 I thought would have been perfect.
Yeah. So, Tyler, to the point about the way that the Big Ten will be announcing their the championship game, it's going to be the top two teams with the best records in conference play. It's interesting that they have not released what the tiebreakers are yet, because with that many teams, there's going to be some funky tiebreakers in there.
There is. And they were showing situations of like teams that could go, like you could have three undefeated teams in the Big Ten because they won't have played each other throughout the year.
Oh, really?
In both years, yeah. And there were years that you had three or four undefeated teams. Now, it's probably not going to happen that way. We all understand that. But it's possible that it could happen. You know, I mean, so everyone's just automatically assuming it's going to be Michigan and Ohio State every year. And I'm not saying that can't happen or that it won't happen. But to just automatically assume USC can't make that, or Wisconsin when they have one of their easier schedules can't make that, or any of these other teams. Or
Nebraska.
For that matter. Yeah, Nebraska even. I mean, it's a possibility. I mean, as long as they're playing each other during the regular season, who knows what's going to happen? I'm excited for that part of it. I don't think it's going to be Ohio State and Michigan every year. I just don't.
No, that's fair, Derek. I'm not saying that it's going to be them every year. I just think, you know, since '96, I have become accustomed to this division concept. That, I mean, you look at, you know, I was 10 years old when we went to the Big 12. Like, I am accustomed to this division. You look at most, you know, other sports, you know, like when you talk about.
But let me ask you this, Tyler. Don't you think it'd be more intriguing to see two of the best teams playing each other rather than seeing Ohio State grab whoever decided to win the West, like Northwestern, who had an easy schedule that year and just happened to win most of their games? And they played well. I'm not trying to take anything away from them, that was not an intriguing matchup. Like that was a garbage championship game.
Sure, that was a game that you would turn on in the first quarter, or you would be watching your phone to see if it's a game in the fourth quarter. I mean, it wasn't a marquee, like, must see appointment television.
And it could still happen with Michigan and Ohio State. The last 2 years, the Michigan Ohio State game hasn't been exciting.
Yeah, but it's always appointment TV.
Michigan kind of ran away with it.
But it's appointment TV. You're blocking your calendar to watch that game. I guess my thing is this, Derek. I know you are very much anti the loser of the Big Ten championship game making playoffs. That is,
I don't love that, but it's a possibility.
It's a lock, right? I mean, that's going to be the future. Like, I mean, that you're going to have the number two team.
What do you? You could put some rules in place to avoid.
So the Big Ten, we go to the 12-team playoff. You would think it is a virtual lock. We're going to get at least two teams every year, minimum, right? Like that would be. So, okay, so you play this out. You go to the playoffs. You have the top two teams in the Big Ten. They play each other. That number two team loses. Does the number three team jump them?
Possibly. No.
Would be ridiculous.
It shouldn't.
Well, hold on. Let me give you this scenario. So if that number two team was got in there by a tiebreaker, why wouldn't the other team that tied them get in instead of them? If all they got into the championship game was a technicality, they had the same record, why wouldn't you put that other team in there?
I think at that point you're playing for seeds. Once you play the conference championship game, it's all for seeds in the playoffs.
I would agree. So I would tend to agree with that. So then what's even... And I love conference championship
games. If you two are completely right on that, then let's eliminate championship games because they've become null and void and they mean nothing.
No, they do mean something because it's all about seeding at that point. It's all about seeding in the playoff. And in your scenario, if it was that close, Derek, I mean, there's a good chance with 12 playoff teams that third team that was this close on a technicality, they're probably going to get a slot anyway.
But
so you were better off just not even playing that championship game.
Well, I mean, yeah, so that's the point.
You were going to get in anyway.
Exactly right. So again, it's just and does divisions fix that issue? Probably not. I mean, that's one of my downturns on the whole 12-team playoff. But
Derek, there is incentive to play for it because you're playing for a bye week. You're playing for a bye week at that point. That's your incentive.
And the winner of the Big Ten.
Yeah, it sucks. It's going to suck. But if you win it, you get an automatic bye.
And this system is for sure, right? Like, you could have argued that in the divisional stand, that it may not have been a guarantee that the winner gets it a bye. But this will be guaranteed every year. Division, you're getting a bye. You're probably one or two seed. Like, that is going to be how it plays out. I don't know. There's just something sentimental about missing. The divisions are going away. And also, it's also kind of weird, like, to Derek's point, like, who are we playing in 2026? Like, we just going to throw darts? Like, I don't know. I don't love...
Well, and, you know, the Big Ten's always had schedules out for 10 years. I mean, so you could go out 10 years from now and look at the schedule. And you just can't do that right now.
That's because we don't know who the teams are going to be in 3 years.
That's fair.
Exactly. But, you know, you go, even when you went back to the Big 12, you always knew what our schedule was going to be, right? What was going to look like, because it was always 2 years on and 2 years off with those teams. So you always knew what it was going to look like. And now I guess you're just always going to be intrigued what the schedule is going to look like, because we're not going to schedule more than 3 years in advance because God knows who's going to be in the conference in 3 years.
I mean, it doesn't bother me that we don't know who we're playing in 2026.
No,
because I'm going to forget who we play in 2024. Okay,
well, you know what?
It's not a huge deal. I'm not making it try and make it be a huge deal.
But I'll tell you what. Well,
just different.
We just got an annual podcast to put out because every year that schedule is going to come out and it's going to be content for us.
More material.
So let's get into these protected rivals.
All right. So these protected rivalries. So there's no consistency, as we've mentioned. Some teams have up to three protected rivals, some two, some one, some even none. No protected rivals. Derek, talk to us about these protected rivals.
All right, so as you mentioned, Iowa is the only team with three. I don't know quite how Iowa pulled that off, but they get Wisconsin, Nebraska, and Minnesota. There's plenty of teams with two and plenty with one. And Penn State, how did Penn State? I don't know. Maybe they didn't want a rival. I don't know. But it just feels like Penn State's been like the redheaded stepchild of the Big Ten since they came. It clear back in the 90s. It always seems like they're getting left out.
So I have an honest question here. Does Penn State have a rival in the Big Ten?
I don't know. I can't tell you who their rival is.
So can we park on that right there? I want to go back. I think for our listeners, I think it's important to provide the context in case you haven't seen. These are the 11, the protected rivals. I know Derek hit the, like, how the teams rank, but it's Michigan, Ohio State, Michigan, Michigan State, Minnesota, Wisconsin, Minnesota, Iowa, Wisconsin, Iowa, Nebraska, Iowa, Indiana, Purdue, Illinois, Purdue, Illinois, Northwestern, USC, UCLA, and Maryland, Rutgers. When I look at the 11 games, there's two that I'm like, are they really rivalries? And it's
and Maryland Rutgers had to be one of them.
And Maryland Rutgers is definitely one of them. And the other one is a little bit on the Illinois Purdue. Like, I was like, I kind of thought that was a rivalry, but like, that's a protected one. That was kind of weird to me. So I say that to say, well, one thing I appreciate about what the Big Ten did here, and before we get into shit on them, they did force rivalries. Because we remember the speculation going back a few weeks. We thought, like, are they going to make Nebraska a protected rival with USC or UCLA? And it's like, why are they forcing it? And to your point, Justin, where I said park there, like, who is Penn State's real rival? Like, you could say it's Ohio State or a Michigan, but, like, I don't really ever – besides them being good – and just having that competitive, like, they're two good teams that play each other. Like, I've never really felt that was a true rivalry. Not the same situation as an Iowa-Minnesota, like, or a Michigan-Ohio State, or Michigan-Michigan State. So I do appreciate that the Big Ten, just to make it even and fair, didn't force a bunch of bullshit rivalries down her throat. Like,
it's like when we joined the Big Ten, they tried to make Nebraska and Penn State a protected rivalry.
Yeah, or like, I mean, what would they have done with Maryland? Besides Rutgers, which again, arguably, if that even makes sense, like, who would they have said is Maryland's protected rival? Like, other ones. Like, so I do appreciate that the Big Ten did just shove this down just to have equality. So I guess that's kind of my positive. On the flip side, though, is there could have been a little bit more even. There is no reason why Iowa needed three. Like, couldn't you have, like, broken the range down to, like, either 3-1 or 2-0? Like, did they have to go 3? That's a big freaking gap.
Well, they have 4 every year because they have to play Iowa State, too.
Yeah. So, honest question. If you're an Iowa fan, and God thank bless you that neither of you two are, like, every night you go to bed, you thank God that you're not an Iowa fan. I know that's true. Would you be happy with having 4 rivals every year that you know you're going to play?
If I was an Iowa fan, I would probably like these rivals. Wisconsin, Nebraska, Minnesota. I think those are 3 games that I would like to play.
So as Nebraska fans, let me ask you guys this. Which rivalry would you have rather kept if we could have got a second one? Would it have been Minnesota or Wisconsin?
I'd take Minnesota.
I would take Wisconsin.
See, I think that's the way most people would go is Wisconsin. But I'm with Justin. Like, I like the Minnesota rivalry. Like, I've really grown to like this rivalry. The fans on Twitter, they go back and forth. They got the broken bits of chair or whatever the hell that stupid trophy is. It's become fun. Like, that rivalry has become fun to me.
Well, it's fun because of PJ Fleck, right? It's fun because of PJ Fleck.
That, and it's been a fairly even match. Like, yeah. We've won some, they've won some. Wisconsin's not even a rivalry to me because they've just whooped our ass, and it's not a rivalry.
But don't you want to, like, see the tides turn?
We'll see them, like, you know, two times out of every 4 years. That's fine. We don't need to see them every year.
I mean, I just, it seems like I want a little bit of payback. I wish we would have kept one of those two. And I lean towards Wisconsin. I do think there was a avenue to keep another one of those. But again, then that gets a little bit more complex and you're kind of pigeonholing it. And I think for just overall league, like, while I kind of bitch about the schedule bouncing around, it's cool that we get to play a wide variety of teams every single year.
I agree. I want to play the different teams. I don't want to play the same teams every year. Like, Iowa's great. Like, when we get that rivalry, that's great. Because that's become a true rivalry. As much as I hate to admit that, because, you know, it was forced down our throats when we first came to the Big Ten.
100%.
That was going to be your rival. And I was like, nah, that's not going to be our rival. But it really has become.
Yep, 100% is. And again, I will say this. Like, and the Big Ten had to do something with protected rivals. And obviously Michigan Ohio State is the number one reason, but there are a lot of other big games. Like, they couldn't have just said, yeah, we're not going to play Wisconsin Minnesota every year. You know, they had to look at some things and you know, address that. And, you know, Michigan State, they had to address that. Like, so they had to do something in this regard. But I do appreciate they didn't just shove a bunch of random rivals down our throat. Could you have made a little bit tinier of a runway here?
Yeah, a little bit more consistency. Yeah, well, I mean.
And then the other thing with Iowa, like, even, I don't know, kind of talk shit about Nebraska. Like, when you talk about the haves and have-nots, like, Nebraska, Minnesota, and Wisconsin are kind of on that cusp. We could kind of go either way. And they're playing Iowa State. Like, I kind of feel like their schedule is, and again, I'm kind of talking shit about Nebraska here, so if you're an Iowa fan listening, like, do that. But I kind of feel like it sets up for them to be in a conversation probably more routinely than some of the other teams where, you know, you don't have to worry about potentially playing Michigan, Ohio State, USC, and Penn State the same year because you kind of have protected yourself a little bit with some of the other games.
Yeah. All right, let's move on. We're going to still talk about some scheduling stuff. We're going to go back to this current year, 2023, and we're going to look at Big Ten matchups. We're going to look at the top five most intriguing out-of-conference games for the Big Ten. Tanner, what are your top five?
Just to clarify, this is non-conference, right?
This is non-conference.
Okay, just make sure I heard that right. So number five on my list is Minnesota at UNC. Number four, Penn State versus West Virginia. I believe it's at West Virginia, but I don't know if I wrote that down right, so I'm going to call it versus. Number three, Washington at Michigan State. Number two, Nebraska at Colorado. And with my number one pick, Ohio State at Notre Dame.
Okay.
I didn't really. I'll give context, I guess, later. But yeah, that's my list.
Okay, Derek, go ahead. Your top five.
All right. Well, first off, I'm going to say you guys are going to hammer me for mine. I'm okay with it. Before I get into mine, I just want to give a little bit of credit to Purdue, who scheduled two Power Five teams, and Michigan scheduled zero. So shame on them. So my number five was Wisconsin at Washington State. I think that's okay. We'll get into that part later. Number four, I had Ohio State at Notre Dame.
Your number five was what? Or
Wisconsin at Washington State.
Okay.
And then number four was Ohio State at Notre Dame. Number three, I got Minnesota at North Carolina. number two, this one's kind of cheesy, but I'm a Nebraska fan, so I'm going to put it in there. I had Nebraska, Colorado. It's the old rivalry. And then number one, and Justin, you're going to hate me for it, but it's Illinois at Kansas. I can't find two more evenly matched teams than what Illinois and Kansas are.
So out of every out-of-conference game that you have, that is going to be your number one. If you can only watch one out-of-conference game, that's the game that you're going with.
I think it'll be one of the best games, yes. Ohio State's already 80% chance of winning that game. Almost 10-point favorites. Like that game doesn't intrigue me that much. We've seen it last year.
So, Derek, you're right. We are going to hammer you. So my question to you is, do you think Kansas is going to be what Kansas was last year?
I think there's a possibility. I like Lance Leipold. I think he's a good coach.
Like, okay, so gun to your head. Illinois, Kansas. Over, under 7 wins for both those teams.
All right, tell me who wins that game.
Illinois.
Gun to your head, who wins that game?
Illinois.
All right, if they lose, you're getting shot. Now, do the same thing for Ohio State and Notre Dame. I bet you feel a lot more comfortable saying Ohio State than that.
Well, okay, fine. But that doesn't necessarily make it an intriguing game because it could be close.
Sure it does. I want to see a close game. I don't want to see a blowout.
Well, go watch two middle school teams play. Like, I mean, I'm sure they could have some close games. Like,
go watch women's basketball.
Yeah.
But you can't just sit here and go, well, just the national game. Just the national contenders are the only intriguing matchups. Or I just will watch 5 teams the whole year.
Well, I
just won't be an Ohio State fan. Just watch all the Ohio State games because they're more intriguing because they have more national implications.
All right, so I'll give my top 5, but Derek, I will say that your number one made my list of 4 honorable mentions. It did make an honorable mention. I had 4 of them. So Illinois, Kansas was my honorable mention. So my number 5 team is Wisconsin at Washington State. Number 4, Michigan State at Washington. 3, Minnesota at North Carolina. 2, Homer pick, but Nebraska at Colorado. And then, of course, Ohio State, Notre Dame. I mean, I thought we would be unanimous in Ohio State as Notre Dame as the number one most intriguing. Because that is the only marquee game out of this out-of-conference schedule in the Big Ten. 100%. 99 people out of 100 would take Ohio State, Notre Dame as the most intriguing matchup in 2023.
And in my
I would have
opinion,
bet my left nut on it, and apparently you would have cost me my left nut.
In my opinion, everybody's turning that game off at halftime.
You think so? I don't know.
Maybe. I mean, it's definitely possible. I mean, but like, okay, so Notre Dame, you're right. Ohio State might be a better team. They may win this game. But in 2023, and I know this is still way too early, but what do you see Notre Dame? Like, I mean, you think they're a top 15 team? Top 20?
Top 20.
Okay. So, I mean, you have 2 of the 20 best teams in the country going head-to-head. Tell me the other matchup that's going to happen in. There is no other matchup in the Big Ten that's happening.
Yeah,
Well, my intrigue is a game that I think is going to be good from start to finish.
I get it. But then if that's the case, then Ohio State probably has no other intriguing game besides Michigan on their schedule. Because they're going to house everyone the whole year besides potentially Michigan.
You're probably right.
Okay. So
yeah, I mean,
to your point, I'm probably not dialing into a lot of Ohio State games.
But, you know,
besides Ohio State, besides the Notre Dame and Michigan games, I'm probably not dialing in much.
Ohio State Notre Dame is probably the only ranked matchup in out of conference.
Unless I'm watching the ticker and all of a sudden I see Ohio State's getting upset. That's the only way I'm probably turning into one of their games.
No, you're going to be watching because you're going to bet that game. So you'll be dialed in the entire time. I mean,
But there are storylines. I mean, I think when you look at that when you look at the Notre Dame, I mean, obviously there's a lot of speculation. Will Notre Dame join the Big Ten? You obviously have the historical implications of this. You have that this is probably one of the 2 or 3 toughest games that Ohio State will have all year, and this is easily Notre Dame's toughest game of the year. I know you have it fourth, so it's not like you completely ignored it. But yeah, I'm a little bit shocked. I mean, not. Yeah, I don't get it. We all had Nebraska, Colorado, number two though.
Yeah. I mean, that is going to be an entertaining game. There's going to be a lot of build-up for that. It's going to be fun.
It's still the big rival. Colorado will be a rival for us, to me, in my opinion, forever. For one. For two, you already have this Twitter-created beef between Deion Sanders and Matt Rhule.
Well,
which I don't know if there's real beef there or not, but it's a fun storyline.
But isn't there like a little bit bigger implications? Like if you're Matt Rhule and you lose that game to Colorado, like, isn't that like an immediate kind of big blow to your like start? Like you lose to Minnesota week one. Yeah. Okay. People will get over it. You know, PJ Fleck's a good coach. He's established. He's got a heads up. Colorado just turned over 50 players. I mean, these coaches feel like they have different philosophies how they're building programs. And then vice versa. If you're Deion and all the shit you've talked, like, about this, I mean, did you hear his latest quote? Like, he's like, I don't want to be shot. I prefer to shoot. Like, I saw that going around Twitter. Like,
no, I did not see that.
It's basically Scott Frost. I didn't see that. You know? He's Scott Frost 2.0. I hope they don't have to change for us. We don't have to change for them. They change for us. Like
we have to modify their system for us.
Yeah, I mean, whatever that quote was. Like,
I did see his quote. I don't even know who Pat Narduzzi is.
That's pretty funny. I don't care who you are. That's funny right there.
I don't know who Pat Narduzzi is either. So I don't
really
don't
feel about Pitt.
Never heard of him.
I can't tell if you're being a smartass right now or not. I mean, it's plausible.
It's a poker face.
It's plausible.
We've talked about him on the podcast before when he was talking shit about Matt. What was his name? Mark Whipple.
So kind of going through the list, did we all have Washington at Michigan State?
I did not have that one. Yeah. It was one of my honorable mentions. Like, it was close to making it.
Yeah, that was my number four.
It was just another game. I think Michigan State lost a little too much this year, and I'm afraid that Washington's going to run away with that game.
Minnesota, North Carolina, we all had that one right.
Yep.
That one absolutely. I love that matchup. I think that's going
to
be a fun.
Game. So I guess the difference between Justin
that almost made my number one.
So the difference between Justin and mine was Penn State at West Virginia, and.
I didn't even have that as an honorable mention.
I had no interest in even watching that game, I don't think. I'll probably watch it because it'll probably be like a Thursday night game or whatever it's going to end up being. Because it's the first week. I know that. So I'll be watching a lot of football that first week anyway. But I don't know. What's West Virginia? They haven't been good lately. They haven't really been good since they lost Holgren or... Houston coach. What's his
name? Dana Holgerson.
There you go. So they really haven't even been decent since they've lost him. So I don't know. If Penn State struggles against them, I think they're 12-point favorites in that game. If they struggle in that game, you kind of start wondering about James Franklin and where his tenure is at Penn State.
That's fair.
Do you guys want to talk about honorable mentions here? Here's some other things that were top five, but I think these are kind of mildly interesting. Illinois, Kansas, they're in there. We already talked about that. But Indiana, Louisville, I'm kind of intrigued by that because I want to see what Tom Allen is going to finally do. Is this guy done in the Big Ten?
Not just that, but Jeff Brohm coming back. One of his first games as a new coach at Louisville is coming straight back to the Big Ten. Yep.
There's familiarity there, but that one kind of mildly intrigues me. I wrote down Maryland, Virginia, because I want to see if Maryland's for real. I want to see if they're for real coming off of last season. Not that they had a spectacular season, but they exceeded everybody's expectations. I mean, I'm sure they exceeded the expectations of Maryland fans.
Yeah,
that one's mildly intriguing. The last one is Purdue and Virginia Tech. You know, Purdue, they're going out there. They're actually scheduling some people, and I want to see what they do.
They scheduled them and Syracuse, and I'm almost intrigued by either one of those matchups.
Yeah.
Well, and I'll throw out another one. You kind of hit a couple of my honorable mentions, but the only other one that hasn't been mentioned is Vautech at Rutgers. I think that's gonna be.
I don't know who Virginia Tech's coach is, but if they lose to Rutgers, he's probably in trouble.
We'll spend time on this, but you said Purdue. Like, do you really think Purdue is that much of a team up as Rutgers? Like, I need to look at schedule. I think they're probably pretty equivalent teams. Losing Aiden O'Connell is going to be a big deal for Rutgers or Purdue. I mean, losing Jeff Brohm is going to be a big deal for Purdue. Like, there's some big losses. Noah Bedrill leaving Rutgers. I think he's finally gone. I don't know. I mean, it's been 18 years he's been there. But like,
he's got a nice year of eligibility.
I don't think that's going to hurt him that much.
But they got Ryan Walters. We'll see what kind of coach he is.
I know you're high on him. I love him as a DC. I mean, we'll see what he does as a head coach. I just think I don't buy that he's going to keep a passing game. I don't buy that. I don't know.
I agree. I mean, I know at one point he mentioned that he would like to keep throwing the ball all over the field, but as a defensive-minded guy, that's not how you want to do things.
All right, so to move on, we're going to do one last scheduling piece for 2023, and this is going to be the top five most intriguing Big Ten crossovers. This was really difficult, actually.
It was extremely difficult.
So, Derek, we'll start with you. Set the standard.
All right, so I went with Penn State at Illinois for number five because I think Illinois is going to be a good team this year. We're going to find out about Penn State pretty fast. It's early on. Number four, I had Iowa at Penn State. Number three, I had Minnesota at Ohio State. Number two, I had Michigan at Minnesota. And number one, I had Ohio State and Wisconsin.
I'm trying to mark these down, and you screwed me up here. What was your number three? I'm sorry.
Minnesota at Ohio State.
Okay. Tyler.
Yeah, so my number five is Iowa at Penn State. My number four is Minnesota at Michigan. My number three is Minnesota at Ohio State. My number two is Michigan at Nebraska. And my number one is Ohio State at Wisconsin.
Okay. Really, we weren't too different other than you have Michigan and Nebraska in there.
I think it's a big-time game. The Bussin' Bowl, baby.
All right.
I'm scared for that game. I'm afraid we're going to get our asses kicked.
So my top five most intriguing crossovers. Number five, Purdue at Michigan. Four, Ohio State at Purdue. Three, Michigan at Minnesota. Two, Iowa at Penn State. And number one is Ohio State at Wisconsin.
Are we all the same number one?
You got two Purdue.
Yeah, what the hell, dude? And you mentioned Purdue in your wild card. Like, Purdue's intriguing. Purdue is a four-win team.
They're the most interesting team in the Big Ten.
To you, they apparently are. Apparently, you're going to be watching a lot of Purdue games, and I apologize for your Saturdays.
That's okay, because I'm apparently a lot higher on Illinois than you guys are. So
I mean, so let's.
I'm so higher Ohio on Illinois State than at Purdue. Purdue.
Ohio State at Purdue. So Purdue's beat Ohio State before. Ohio State going on the road. I mean, let's be real here. It's not like I have them high up. This was a tough exercise. So being at number four,
they don't exactly have Rondell Moore anymore.
Yeah, but Purdue at Michigan. Bell. That was just kind of rounding it out.
But you're right. I mean, and here's the problem with divisions. As you're sitting here looking at the cross divisions, you're going, so what do? You look at the top teams because you'll see the top teams play each other, right? And I'm looking at who Ohio State's playing. I'm like, yeah, I'm not concerned too much about them losing to anybody for crossovers. I looked at Penn State. I mean, they have a couple that maybe they could be in tight games with.
Derek, can I ask you a question?
Then Michigan, I think Michigan's got one of the easiest schedules being a Big Ten East team, they have probably the easiest schedule you could possibly have and the clearest path to a playoff. Because if they can get past Ohio State again, they're automatically in, because there's nobody else is going to do anything against them.
You watch your damn mouth. The Huskers are coming for them. But Derek, a more important question is, do you think Wisconsin is that much better than Notre Dame? Because Ohio State, Wisconsin was your number one. But, like, I mean, I'm kind of sitting there saying, man, I think Notre Dame might be a little bit better than Wisconsin in 2023. And you just shit all over that game.
I'm not shitting on that game. I'm just not sold. I don't know that I like.
Why do you hate Catholics so much?
Well, we won't get into that.
That's a long episode.
We don't need that R rating.
Yeah.
No, but here's the thing. Like Wisconsin intrigues me with the new coach. Like Luke Fickell and what he's going to do intrigues me. Notre Dame's got Marcus Freeman. Is that his name?
And he's year two.
He's in year two, and he wasn't that great last year. I don't know that I expect him to be
that. He started out rough, but he finished strong.
Yeah, I think the Marcus Freeman. I like Marcus Freeman as a head coach. I don't know if he's got
a little more to prove. He's got a little more to prove to me before I jump on board.
He started 0-3 last year, and he finished
8-4. Yeah, something like that. Yeah, I mean it was a good finish.
Didn't they lose? Didn't they lose to like Marshall?
Yeah, early in the season. Yeah, it was a brutal start.
Yeah, it's terrible.
I want to throw another one back, kind of going back to it. But the other only honorable mention that I think I wrote down that hasn't been mentioned was Northwestern at Purdue, at Rutgers. And
serious? Bottom feeders.
Well, it's kind of
the bottom feeder versus the bottom feeder.
It's kind of the Derek Illinois Kansas argument, right? Like it's like. I think that could be a really competitive game, and the loser.
Although I don't think Illinois and Kansas are bottom feeders.
But can I say, so that's the first game of the season for both of them. You're right. They're not bottom feeders. But the reason why it's intriguing to me, and I almost had it in my top five. I really almost did. I was a last minute scratch. Is the loser of that game? Does that coach get Scott Frost? Like if Greg Schiano loses week one. I don't think they're going to fire Fitzpatrick so early, but like if Schiano loses.
Fitzgerald.
Wrong Irishman.
The butcher.
the wrong Irishman. But like they're not going to fire Fitzgerald that early, but his seat immediately gets nuclear. If Schiano loses against Rutgers week one, year four, like is that a little bit like on the hot seat?
If Schiano loses to Rutgers, we got a real problem.
Yeah. Well, okay, you get what I'm saying. If Schiano loses to Northwestern, year four.
Is he headed into year four already? Is that true?
Let me just fact check this, but.
Yeah.
Because his first year was, I think, 20.
Maybe it is. It's just time flies when you're old, I guess.
Let me make sure I got that right.
But no, I mean, yeah, I don't think
year four. Yeah, his record.
I don't think anybody's at jeopardy.
In 2020, he went 3-6. 2021, he went 5-8. 2022, he went 4-8. He's 3 years in, has not made a bowl. You lose against Rutgers or Northwestern, who you perceive as one of the worst teams out of the West right out the
gate. If he was at Nebraska, fans like you would be saying, "Oh yeah, he's close. He's close."
Depends if it's a close game.
I'll give him some credit. He had a great defense last year. His defense was one of the top defenses in the Big Ten.
Yeah.
Maybe.
And they played in a tough division. Divisions are going away. The schedule won't get any easier, but.
Yeah, I just think the loser of that game, the immediate storyline the Monday after is that guy joins Tom Allen as the hottest seat in the Big Ten. So yeah, maybe I'm premature by saying someone's going to get fired. I think those seats get nuclear if they lose that game.
I just don't know. I can't see Schiano going anywhere anytime soon. It's not like Rutgers has fans. But, I mean, high expectations.
He's probably already won more games than all the other coaches after 3 years.
So the question is with that then, is like, so he can never make a bowl game, right? So like you guys are saying, like what year does he...
No, I think Schiano will make a bowl game.
But when? If he loses to Northwestern, it won't be this year.
Maybe. It could be. I don't know.
You think you're losing to Northwestern and making a bowl?
Greg Schiano. The Greg Schiano magic.
I'm not right about much, but from day one, I was not as high on that hire as you two.
And you know what, though? He's probably done as well at Rutgers in his first 3 years than any other coach would have.
In that division, probably.
Yeah. I mean, that's... You're playing Penn State, Ohio State, Michigan every single year. He's not going to have to play all three of those teams every single year headed down the road.
Yeah, he gets to swap one of them for USC.
On the road?
Yeah.
I think Chris Ash made a bowl game in his time at Rutgers. Am I wrong on that?
I don't know. Chris
Ash. No, Chris Ash was pretty pathetic. But 2-10, 4-8, 1-11, and 1-4 and got fired. So Greg Schiano has 5 more victories than Chris Ash.
Yeah. He's a stud.
Gives him a couple extra years at Rutgers.
No, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I see what you're saying about Pat Fitzgerald, because the last couple years have not been kind to him, and things are just not looking great. Who knows how long those Northwestern fans care, but are there Northwestern fans enough to care push him out, you know?
There's a problem with that, because I know... I mean, not like I know a lot of Northwestern fans, but I think Northwestern fans generally love Pat Fitzgerald.
He's a likable guy.
He is, and he's done a lot of great things for Northwestern. So it's hard. It's going to be hard to drive him out of there. But at some point, you can't keep having 1-11 seasons.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, we'll see.
It really appears that losing that defensive coordinator, I can never remember his name, but. Losing him has really been tough for him, because they've struggled mightily since he has left.
I'll just say this on the last note on that, the fact that you guys didn't have Michigan, Nebraska, and that
I had them as an honorable mention.
That would have been my number 6.
I did not.
That is going to be a fun game. I am convinced it will be a night game. I'm convinced that it will be Memorial Stadium 2.0. We all saw that last year. Again, if Matt Rhule is what he's supposed to be, like, you know, this is a game that should be a game.
Can I mention something here? I was listening to the Husker Online show with Sean Callahan and Steve Sipple. They were doing their top storylines. And Sipple, everybody loves Sipple, right? Turtle optimist, big homer. But right. He's talking about Jeff Sims, and he's talking about him as being – a better passer than Lamar Jackson. And Sean Callahan kind of challenges him and says, it's like, wait. It's like, are you talking about the Heisman Trophy winning quarterback from Louisville who's now in the NFL? It's like, yeah. It's like, Sipple's like talking like Jeff Sims is a more polished passer than Lamar Jackson.
So my question to you guys on that, is that a more homer stance on Jeff
fucking
Sims?
A, it's a homer stance.
Okay, or...
I don't need to hear it, or.
Or is it more slander against Lamar Jackson?
No, it's a homer stance. Okay.
Because I'll tell you, like, people. I listen to a lot of crap on sports radio, and the hatred, the no respect Lamar Jackson gets is just unbelievable to me.
It really is. Like, and look, everybody hopes that Jeff Sims... is if he turns out to be
even Lamar Jackson,
yeah, even like 75% of Lamar Jackson, we're gonna win a lot of games.
We're winning a national championship this year if he's as good as Lamar Jackson.
Oh yeah, Lamar Jackson. Yeah,
I mean
we're at least playoff contenders.
I mean, if he is as good a passer as Lamar Jackson, which obviously isn't his strength, and he is a what we perceive him as a runner, like, I mean.
Uh-oh.
Nine games is 100% on the board, right? Like,
Tyler Schaefer says Lamar Jackson should be a running back.
I did not say that. I said Lamar Jackson is one of the three best running quarterbacks I've ever seen.
Yeah.
And that.
Who are the other two?
Michael Vick and your boy in Baylor, RG3.
What about Manziel, Johnny Manziel?
No. And obviously, I'd probably put like Tommy Frazier, Eric Crouch in those categories, but they didn't go to the NFL. Sure. So, but like guys that actually got a shot in the NFL.
Well, they weren't passers.
Well, yeah.
Because they weren't passers, period. I mean,
they didn't have anything. Yeah, they.
I mean, Lamar Jackson and Mike Vick, I mean, they could throw the ball.
Yeah, like, yeah. But those would be the good three
running quarterbacks, but they could throw the ball.
Yeah, I never cared about Louisville until like Lamar Jackson was there.
I didn't even know Louisville had a team until Lamar Jackson came.
They were like must-watch TV.
And beat Florida State like 62-13, whatever it was. It was just amazing because that was back when Jimbo Fisher was still at Florida State, and they were still actually pretty good.
Yeah, so quarterbacks can make teams very intriguing to watch because. Like Texas A&M, you know, I live here in Texas, obviously. But you know, when Johnny Manziel was down here, I mean, I was watching a lot of Texas A&M just because Johnny Manziel was so freaking fun to watch. I mean, he was completely unlikable, but fun to watch.
His unlikability just
he still to this day lives off one win. And that was they beat Alabama 100%. One year.
His unlikability was there has never been an athlete. That you, like, these guys are in uniform. Like, you don't know anything about them. And you could just sense the douchebag. You could just sense it.
Watching the way that play. He scrambled, it's like, that guy's a douche.
Yeah.
He made Baker Mayfield look like a
saint. Oh, yeah. Wait, Justin, didn't we get some questions on Twitter?
Oh, let me check. Hey, so the first one is a question I want to ask Derek. Because I think he might know. The first question is, how much money can one person actually lose over a long weekend at Lone Star Park?
Never been to Lone Star Park.
You never been to Lone Star Park? We never went when you were here?
No.
You didn't like horse racing back then.
You used to be cool.
Yeah.
Okay, well.
But I'm assuming it's a lot. It depends on how much you want to bet. But I'm assuming you can lose a lot of money pretty fast there.
Yeah.
All right. Any other horse track.
Jim in Minnesota says, Tyler, this is for you. Do you think the Big Ten is ready for the arrogance of USC in a year?
100%. I mean, if there's one thing the Big Ten is equipped for, is overly arrogant fans. I mean,
Nebraska fans?
Come on. Have you met us? Like,
when we came to the Big Ten, like that was pretty good arrogance
Have you gotten on Twitter after Michigan beats Ohio State? Like, I mean, it's the Big Ten is 100% ready for, like, overly entitled fan bases. I mean, have you talked about Iowa? Like, I mean, God, Iowa thinks they deserve to be enshrined in the College Football Hall of Fame for winning 9 games a year. Like they're a blue blood program.
I will say this. I do believe that USC is going to struggle in the Big Ten.
I don't. I'm on a different stance on that, Derek. I think Lincoln Riley is one of the 5 best coaches. Like,
he's a great quarterback whisperer, and he's a great offensive mind, but he doesn't play defense. And that doesn't work well in the Big
Ohio
Ten,
State.
Generally
speaking. No, Ohio State is that model, right? Ohio State has not been a good defensive team for the last half decade.
Yeah, but even their bad defenses are better than what Lincoln Riley puts out.
To be determined on that.
So we'll find out.
So I don't know about USC fan base. Are they considered arrogant? I don't know.
I don't follow any USC fans. I don't see a lot of their... I'm not on Twitter the way a lot of people are, so I don't follow that kind of stuff. But maybe they are. I mean, they're Californians. They got to be arrogant.
A little bit.
Like
so
in their blood.
So what I will say is this. I don't know if... So Nebraska arrogant fans, we are a team that we could go 3-9 and talk about how we're the best 3-9 team of all time and bring up the 90s in the same breath. USC fans are a front-running arrogant fan base where if they go 3-9, you will not hear a peep from them because they're going to be on the beach having a great time. But if they get to any level of success, then you start hearing about all the greats. which really sucks for them. It kind of sucks for Nebraska, too, a similar situation, because their great is O.J. Simpson. Like, that's the guy they would love to hang their hat on, and they just get, like, damn it! Can't talk about the murder. And like, that's a little bit of
the issue. If that's what you want to throw out, I mean...
But, like, but USC fans, do you remember the Reggie Bush days?
Yeah.
Like, that was awful. Like, if Twitter was around back then, that would have been unbearable. Like, I remember people in Nebraska were wearing USC shit back then. Like, and Caleb Williams, man, he's hot. Like, I mean,
Wait, whoa. What?
Tyler's what? Hot in talent. Bar, please.
Hot in talent. All right.
So.
He's red hot. Red hot would have been a better description of him. I'm sure he's a good looking guy. I mean, no judgment, but.
Yeah, so, I don't know. This might be a little slightly, just to build off that. Who are the most arrogant fans in the Big Ten? Is it Nebraska? I think this is something that Jeffrey the Greek could really comment on. I mean, he's really dialed into all the fan bases in the Big Ten.
I will tell you, Iowa's got quite a few arrogant fans as well. Minnesota does care.
Yeah, too. Minnesota, sneaky pick there, Derek.
They do have a lot of shit talkers.
I mean, I look
at Ohio State fans.
Ohio State, and Michigan.
It's rightful. I mean, they are what they are. They're great, but. There's a lot of arrogance. I do follow a lot of Ohio State fans, and there is a lot of arrogance there.
So I guess we're right. USC is going to fit right in.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Big Ten. This is just the new norm. Like,
add to the shit-talking party, I guess. I don't know.
I am excited for the USC, because one thing that I think is wrong about USC is that they, because they are a West Coast power, and they're the West Coast power, that they have been entitled to this blue blood status in college football. They're about to enter a conference with real blue bloods. Like, yeah. Ohio State, Nebraska, like, we are real blue bloods. Michigan's okay, yeah. They're in that category. Penn State's up there. But, like, USC is not one of those four teams. And their history is not as impressive as any of the top four teams' blue blood status in the Big Ten. So I am looking forward to the Twitter debates of them trying to compare their history to the rest of the conference.
So, I mean, we're going to see some of that, right? We're probably going to see, is USC a blue blood, right? How would you answer that? You would say no?
I mean, there's degrees of everything, right? Like they're but... They are not in what I would call the Mount Rushmore blue bloods, which are probably Alabama, Oklahoma, Nebraska, Ohio State. Like, that's probably – Notre Dame would probably even be in there too, so maybe bump out one of the teams for Notre Dame. So that's kind of the what I would call the Mount Rushmore, the top five blue bloods. They're in that next tier. They're in that 6 through 12.
Okay, so they are, but they're just not – okay. All right, I just want to clarify that, because
when you're in a conference with two of the top, like that there is a distinguishing factor there.
Yeah, because they're currently, well, prior they were in a conference with zero blue bloods.
No even debate for another one. Like, no one even close. So, like, they're about to enter, and then again, Penn State, Michigan, they're right in there. Wisconsin sneakily getting in that status if Luke Fickell has success. They start to get into this category of they need to get a national championship or two, but like they're sneakily getting quite the resume built.
Interesting.
Yeah,
I would say Wisconsin's well below USC, but
yeah,
sneakily closing in on it, closing the gap there.
Who's closer, Iowa or Wisconsin?
To what I would call blue blood status?
Yeah,
Wisconsin.
I
think they're very similar.
Very similar.
Both teams need to win national titles. I mean, we just went through this with the NBA with Joker. Like, to be an all time great, an all time great, you have to get the championship. To get to that blue blood status, you gotta get some rings. But both those teams are starting to put together pretty nice resumes. Iowa and Wisconsin.
So I'm hearing UCLA is not mentioned because I think we're all agreeing now that UCLA is not a real program, right? is that what's going on here?
If Nebraska starts beating them regularly, I'll agree with you.
And I will say,
you know what? I'm going to be devastated if Nebraska loses to UCLA. I am going to add.
Can I say this though?
Yeah.
If you're talking about blue blood basketball programs,
oh yeah.
I mean, UCLA is a blue blood, is the blue blood. I mean, they're it's them, North Carolina, Kansas, Duke. Like,
well, that's, until Nebraska gets a basketball team, we'll shelf this conversation. Okay.
There we go. But okay, let's get out of this. It's a nice little. All right.
It was good talking to you guys after this month. I'm glad we figured out how to actually record again. So that's pretty cool.
When are we coming back, Justin? When are you guys coming back?
About a couple weeks. I mean, we'll wait 2-3 weeks. I don't know. July? I mean, football's right around the corner.
We're closing in.
It's coming hot and fast. We're mid-June now.
Phil Still will have a magazine out here shortly.
Well, for everyone listening, once we hit July, expect regular content from us. We'll be weekly, out nearly every week podcast. And definitely in August every week.
We can start breaking down some matchups in the Big Ten. We can definitely some fun episodes.
I'll start cranking the Alt 22 and start figuring this out and get ready for the season. So,
can't wait. We're getting close, guys. All right, special thanks to our producer, Connor Russell, for putting this audio together for us. Be sure to follow the Husker Cuzcast on Twitter, at Husker Cuzcast. Like us on Facebook. Look for episodes anywhere you get your podcasts. Hit that subscribe button, and don't forget to rate and review. On behalf of Derek and Tyler, we want to thank everybody for listening. As always, go Big Red.